online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 good and fun.
It's your resident map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make a do with a do,
man. Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Rowe Show.
Don't try to call me out, Princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
Why, you beady-eyed.
The upper room.
It's the Jay Rowe Show coming up next on the TJRS.
No, Jay. We've got this. Come on, ladies. Let's show them what we're working with.
I think that I'm in love.
You know what time it is. It's time to get relaxed and listen to the latest of Ladies First Radio of the TJRS Radio Network, a life show for everyone. It's your resident, Map of the South, Moms and Little Donnas with Dr. Princess Odelia. Our topic for tonight, putting value on what really matters in this world. It's so easy to get caught up in material things that we misplace what is really important in life. We don't need to wait for the news. We have only a few months to live before actually living life to the fullest. We have our fitness and health tips and our inspirational corner as well. So let's do this. It's that time again. Time to tune in to Ladies First Radio of the TJRS Radio Network. A life show for everyone. Is your resident, Map of the South, Moms and Little Donnas with Dr. Princess Odelia. And tonight, we're putting on our spy glasses. In the wake of the government being put on blast for monitoring phone calls and internet activity, is there any such thing as privacy anymore? Why are people acting so surprised over something that has been going on for years? We have our fitness and health tips and our inspirational corner as well. So let's do this.
Welcome to Ladies First Radio on the TJRS Radio Network.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to Ladies First Radio of the TJRS Radio Network, live show for everyone. 347-850-1272. If you'd like to call in and speak to me, your host for tonight, Mom to Little Donna,
or my co-host, Dr. Princess Odelia. Dr. Princess Odelia, are you there?
Hello, hello. Happy Friday to you.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am doing just fantastic.
That's
fantastic,
good.
Fantastic, yes. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's been 2 weeks since we've had a live show, and I'm just full of energy and just ready to just, whatever comes, just let it come.
I'm telling you. I'm actually upset right now. I just drove up to this gas station. Now, listen, first, everyone know that Detroit is going through its transformation, okay? So everyone is patient with our transformational experience. Well, I was driving through Detroit. I live in a suburb of Detroit, but I was driving through Detroit, and one of my offices is in Detroit. So I go there. Prices are great, $3.49, and I'm like, oh my God, let me come here. Well,
uh-huh.
I drive up to the pump a few minutes ago, and I don't know. My instinct said, drive off, leave now. Because there was, you know, some dudes, they drove up on the side of the car. And I know they were at their pump, but that corner is pretty hot, right?
Right.
So I looked at them. They look real suspenseful. I don't know about this one. And I wanted to get the gas because it's $3 and, you know, 40-some cent. Who does that here, you know? Right now the prices have been crazy.
Right.
So anyhow, I drove off. I took heed to my instinct. And as I was looking back, I saw the guy slowly. Now, if you're getting gas, you're going to go and pay for your gas. You're going to walk right into the gas station, right?
Uh-huh.
No, he's walking out in the middle. He's scoping everybody. I said, well, you know, I'm glad I followed, which I usually do. Then I come here to the new place where I'm going to get gas, where it's all safe and stuff. And it's 30-something cents more. Can we have a show on gas crisis? I'm like, please. And it's the lowest price. It's lower than the other hour I live. It's lower. But my gosh.
Well, look at it this way, though. At least you're safe. You have your life. You might have to pay 30 cents.
Just because some knuckleheads, I had to leave my 30 cents cheaper price. I'm not happy about it. So the answer to your question,
wow.
I was doing real well until I saw 30 cents more.
Isn't it something how that happens, though? Because that's like here in Orlando. You go on one side of Orlando, and the gas would be really cheap. You go to the other side of Orlando, and it's like 30 or 40 cents more, and you're going, how can that be? Especially when it's the same brand of gas. It's like, what
right.
are people doing? I don't understand that myself.
I was not happy about that. I'm having to pay that just because some knuckleheads look like they were ready to rob the joint.
Wow.
So anyways, other than that, you know, I'm doing well, and I can't complain. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, that's good. That's good. Now that you had your rant, now I have something to rant about before we get into our topic.
Yes.
This has absolutely nothing to do with our topic tonight about, you know, the internet spies and whatever. But for the last week and a half or so, I have been listening to the news. What is that lady's name? Paula Deen? You know, the woman that became famous for her southern cooking with, you know, the butter and lard and all that stuff, and then she came out that she has diabetes.
Well, I know, you know, yeah, that's who she is. They were talking about her on the Jay King show today.
Yes, about her using the N-word. And that
well, no,
they canceled her show because she's been using, I guess, the N-word.
But not only the N-word, did you hear everything she said? Because
no.
You know, I come over, oh, honey, let me tell you something. I came on the show today, on the Jay King show this morning, and I, you know, my optimistic self. Oh, well, what way did she use the word? How did
yeah,
you know she meant it in a prejudiced way? He played a clip and of an interview with her, and
uh-huh.
I was floored and very disappointed. And it was, you know, I don't like that racist card or whatever, but I promise
right.
you, it was outright racist. She felt justified. Basically, all of you can go to hell if you have anything to say about it. I mean, this is just what they are. They're you know, excuse me, but I'm going to, you know, and basically, they're niggers, aren't they? I mean, that's what they are. Why are you tripping, basically? According
is
to
that,
the interview.
Is that how she said it? Oh, my goodness.
Pretty much. According to the interview, they asked her direct questions, and she was, you know, was it with sarcasm, like, what are you tripping on? I mean, that's what they are, aren't they? Like, that is what they should do. Like, whoa.
Wow.
I was, and so Jay played it for me. He said, okay, all right, Miss Lady, you always want to say, I'm sorry, do you hear the cars rolling in the background?
Not anymore, no. I did,
okay,
but not now.
Sorry. But, you know, he said, okay, you want to be all optimistic about it. Hold on a moment, let's play this clip. And he played the clip, and I've never heard of that publicly like that from a celebrity or anything. Unbelievable. Like, straight up
wow.
Racist, put the white cap on your head, please, with the holes in the sheets or something. I don't know. That's how it was.
Wow. Well, my
really
thing
was.
Is, how long has she had? Obviously, she has not been just out of the blue started doing it. She's probably been doing this for a while. But in my mind, it's like, what makes her even think that is okay to talk that way in this day and age and think, I'm trying to understand the mentality here.
Because what did I say? What have I said all year? In 2013, what did I say? This is the what? Year of authenticity. So she's going along with the energy, and she is keeping it real, baby. It's like, hey, if you don't know, now you know. Like Biggie Smalls said, honey, that's exactly what she said. She said, I ain't keeping it underway no more, these Negroes out here. Let me tell you about them. That's what she said.
Wow. Wow.
I was very shocked. I was so shocked. Because I was really trying to be very optimistic that, you know,
uh-huh.
You know how sometimes we can run
yeah.
into some stuff. Somebody say something.
Right.
And you, oh, Lord. And when I heard, well, now listen. It wasn't verbiage directly from her. It wasn't like a clip in which she was talking. It was an interview that someone translated. So, I mean, is it possible that they translated differently? I don't know if they would be so far from the truth of her words such as that. I mean, it was they asked direct questions, and the answers that she gave, I was floored.
Well, the thing is, obviously there must be some truth to it because she came back and she apologized for, you know, the way she spoke. So there has to be some type of truth to it for her to even think that she needs to come out and apologize for, you know, the comments that she made. But like I said,
yeah.
This is not something that she just decided to do overnight. She's probably been doing this for years, and somewhere along the way someone said, okay, you know what, I've had enough of it. I'm going to put you on blast. Here it is.
I think she's probably been doing it with her friends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
with her friends. She's talking trash, you know, and got her little thing, and she's doing her show on the side. Just like, you know, she was a diabetic, but meanwhile she was cooking things that would cause the world to go into a cardiac arrest. But,
right,
I mean,
right.
So now, I mean, you know what? Hey, thankful for the authenticity that she has. You know, hey, now we know. Most people
yeah.
like that, they don't tell you, they smile in your face, and quite frankly, I like the ones that keep it real. Let me know that you don't like my family.
If you
think I'm a nigger, then let me know. I don't care. That's good. At least I know where you're coming from.
Right.
Smile
instead
in my
of you
face.
Smiling. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm
with you. I'm with you. I mean,
yeah.
Before then, I didn't know much about her. All I knew was she was the woman that, you know, I saw... heard about she had a cooking show, and she was cooking with, you know, the real stuff, the butter, you know, the stuff that could really put the weight on you. And then years later she comes and goes, oh yeah, by the way, I'm a diabetic. So that's the only thing I knew about her. And then
by
a couple
the way.
Weeks it's like, oh yeah, I'm about diabetic and I'm cooking this way. It's like, okay, well, I can see why you're diabetic, look how you're cooking. But,
right.
And then, you know, the news comes out that she's using throwing the N-word around like it's an everyday, you know, conversation piece. I'm like, okay, what's going on? So,
and see, I would love to see, because remember we had this conversation, or it was on the J. Rouse show, I think, or one of where we talked about the difference between nigga and nigger. And that whole idea of is it a nigger or is it nigga, and the slang of nigga versus nigger. And I wonder if the word that she used was nigga. And if nigga was, I don't know, but I think if I remember correctly, there was something in there where in which she alluded to the fact that basically we need to take our tails back to the plantation because that's where that's where we need to be. Something in that, along those lines. And I'd love to read the article. I want to read the article. You should pull it up. Do you have internet right now?
Cause, no, I mean, I'm not. You're really piquing my interest here because, like, as soon as the show is off, I'm going to get on the internet because right now I'm not near my computer. But I'm like, what? So now you've really got my interest.
I might go when we go on break. How long is our next break? Because I might take a real brief and just, like, kind of look at my, go on the internet on my phone because you know me, I'm on the road. But go on, you know, look on the internet real quick and pull something up and then have it on Gagarita. Because that's something that I really want to know. Like, what was, and maybe we can dissect and understand. Maybe we can give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she's just a home girl. You know, I mean, for God's sake, she's cooking like the diabetic food like most black people do. Maybe she's just a home girl. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you know, that's my nigga. You know, and maybe she's making jokes. I mean, maybe that's it. And maybe we can read it and come from another perspective.
Right.
From what the question she said, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I understand completely what you're saying because you know how the media likes to take things and run with it without, you know, because think about it. We have access to information in seconds now, just in seconds.
Yes.
And the media will take whatever it is that they can and twist it around for their benefit. So I understand what you're saying.
Right.
And I'm like you. I want to know the whole conversation. What was it? Was she joking?
Right.
Was she serious? Because from
she could have been joking.
Yeah, from my understanding, most of her staff is black. So I'm like, okay, if she's not joking, why are they working for her? Because in this day and age, I don't know too many black people that's going to work for somebody with that kind of mentality. They'll tell them where to go and how far to go.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying, I'm thinking that it's probably more likely that she is just a home girl and she's down with it. Because, for example, my kids, they have a lot of white friends. And I know there's a couple of them call me mom, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're from a, you know, very, you know, pretty well-off families or whatever, but they hang with my, you know, they hang around and they feel comfortable, you know, that comfortable word. And they do say nigga. He's like, that's my nigga. They might do that, you know. And in this day and age, they're like, oh, man, come on, get off it. Somebody's thinking about that black-white stuff. That's what
right.
they say. And they may say things in the comfort of my home that they know, and we have schooled them. You say this out in the street, you're going to get clocked, okay?
Right.
It doesn't work like that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Black people aren't, we are loving people. We really are. But we're not friendly like that, and we take it very personal when you're talking about nigger or even nigga in many cases. And many people don't care how you say it, nig anything, you got a problem.
You're gonna get popped.
You're gonna get popped, or you know what I mean. So we've schooled our white friends. You know, look, don't try this at home. You know,
right,
keep it right here. So maybe someone didn't school her. That's all. She got really free in it. And when they think that they're cool with black people, they're like, oh, what's the problem? You know, you understand white people, they're like kind of willing, sometimes kind of, you know, airheaded. I shouldn't say that. Sounds so racist.
I know what you're saying.
But you know, they're like, oh, you know, this is cool, you know, and it's like, no, it's not cool, baby. No, don't do that.
But isn't that interesting how the lines are drawn like that, though?
Yeah.
Because in our own race, we can throw that word around and not be offended by it. But let someone that's not our color say that word, we get all up in arms. And it's like, okay, what's the difference between me, who's black, saying a word, and someone white saying a word to me, and I know they're joking? I mean, what's the difference? But still, we draw that line. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't like it. We find it very Yes, Gladeline.
Good lady.
Yeah. And, I mean, and only you have certain white people that, you know, even though, and I'm going to be honest, I mean, some of even their friends, they have a lot of racist perspectives. And they do, and we'll talk about it. I don't, like, curse them out or get on mad. I'll sit them down, and they're young adults. I'm like, listen, guys, you know, such and such. You know, like, one girl called me one day, and, you know, she said to me, she says, Mom, she calls me, Mama. She says, you know, I'm really nervous about what now. Because so-and-so said that I owe them something because I broke their such and such. And I'm like, okay. And I just don't, you know, my mom told me that she's going to try to sue me because that's what black people do. And I just don't know. And I don't want to say anything. I don't want to sound really, really bad. But, you know, I'm just really scared. I said, really? I said, now you hang out with her all the time in my house. It's just, first of all, you know, she's not upset. She's only upset because you came at her the wrong way. I said, and she's not, black people aren't trying to just get lawsuits on you. She's not trying to get a lawsuit on you. I said, so don't go there. And something she said after that prompted me to say, now, sweetheart, that right there was racist. She says, really? Yes, it was. I said, and that's a racist thought. I said, so don't go there. Don't feed into it. She's like, okay, but guess what? If you have a mother and a father who's from old school, old country, talking like this to you, you're like, first you weren't thinking it, then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, are you sure, really? So that's what a lot of the generations are being fed into as a result of our unwise elders. They're very unwise themselves. So we just have to, you know, I don't know what vein Pamela came from, Apollo, whatever she came from. But maybe she feels like a homegirl like that, and she feels like she can say whatever, and she's being funny because she knows that people are ridiculous. Sometimes people, just like, I mean, Erykah Badu walked in the middle of a whole bunch of people, including kids, and dropped her drawers. I mean, come on. What? Some people do stuff just because, you know what, I'm going to do this because you have a problem with it, and I think it's ridiculous. So I'm going to say this, and I don't give a darn what repercussions I have. I'm just going to say it because I'm sick of what you're doing. You know, I mean, honestly, I mean, that's just it's a real thought. It is a real perspective of this situation, especially considering that she has, mostly black staff and stuff.
I just thought I would throw that out there because I'm like, okay, what is really going on? What is really going on? And I know it has nothing to do with my father, but I had to get it off my chest. I was like, I want to know. How did she get herself into this situation where, you know, people are ready to jump on her in a way? They canceled her show, canceled the network that she's on. It's
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, she suffered big time for that. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, and just because she had the black staff, maybe she had the other flip side, which would be very sad if she had the black staff, but she could boss them around and treat them like the slaves she thinks that they
are.
I mean, who knows?
Right. We don't know. We don't know how she, you know, behind closed doors. You never know.
I hope that's not the case. That's a darn shame if it is. But, you know, you have to be compassionate because, you know what, poor thing, she's completely foolish.
And on top of that, it's a shame if her black staff is working for her under those conditions. I mean, I'm quite sure they're smart enough to know they don't need to take that. But that's a whole different other story. So.
Yeah, and you know, and it's so many different dynamics of that, Mom, too. But you know what? Sometimes, and I have had friends in my circle or associates, they came to me. In my circle, where I realized the only reason they were in my circle was because they thought I was a token to their circle. You get it?
Oh, wow.
And then it was like, wow. It was like, wow, you're not really feeling me. You really think, racist. You completely can't really stand black people. And if I dare bring another black person around your circle, you like, oh, wait a minute, hold on, sister girl. You're one thing, but don't bring them other ones.
Wow, I know exactly what you're talking about because I've been in that situation. And when you realize that that's what you are, that you're the little black token, you're like,
yeah,
It's a big wake-up call because you're like, okay, see, no, I don't need to hang with you anymore. Forget it. Forget it. See ya. And you
right.
start talking to them, and all of a sudden they try to act all innocent. Well, why aren't you calling me anymore? You know, what happened? What's wrong? And then when you put it in their face, they're like, they act like they're all shocked. It's like, come on, you know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly what you were doing.
Man, I'm telling you, that's a subject in and of itself. Talking about
yes, it is.
Black, and the whole perspective that we have of each other, all of us, you know.
Yeah.
It's something. It's something. But I was really trying to be optimistic, and there are so many ways one could consider this. That's why we have to read her article to see.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to hear. I mean, it seems like they have articles, but I would love to hear where she actually said something.
Right.
Like,
right.
Hear a live interview so I can, you know, feel where she's coming from.
Yes. Hear her tone of voice, you know, the way she was talking. Because the tone of voice will tell you, most of the 9 times out of 10, the person, how they're feeling, what their attitude is, really.
Yes. Yes. Like what are you really talking about? Where are you
mm-hmm.
real? What space
mm-hmm.
are you really coming from? Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Wow. Wow. That and I'm telling you, but you know what? It's so interesting when we talk about white people and we talk about black people. I mean, first of all, black and white people act like we're the only people in the darn country, okay? World.
Thank you. Thank you.
Either black or white, but there's so many other. You know,
yes.
So many other dynamics to this whole racial thing. You know, I sometimes I wonder, what do the others feel like? It's like we don't talk about them. We don't address their issues. I mean, we're talking about the Asians. We're talking about even the
Hispanic.
Indians. Huh? Pardon?
The Hispanics, the Filipinos.
Uh-huh. And even the differences between them. I'm sure they have their own issues, and they're just kind of like the silent. They're just like over in the corner somewhere. You know, dealing with whatever there, because they have, I mean, there's so much racism, if you would, even in the Oriental sector. There's so much racial discrimination, even amongst us blacks, outside of the African quote-unquote race, where you've got the Ethiopians, who
right.
feel like you guys aren't, first of all, they don't feel that we're black in the first place.
Right.
They feel they've been here before us, and they have been, actually. They, you know, and we don't acknowledge them. And they're separate. You got the Indians and the Hindus and the differences between, it's so much. But we all are big happy, we're supposed to be one big happy melting pot, but at the end of the day, we're all the same. I mean, we all, and a lot of them, honestly, they come from us.
Mm-hmm.
They derive from us.
You're right. You're right. The one thing that gets me, Dr. Prince O'Dea, that I see here in Florida a lot, we have a lot of the Haitians here. And
yeah.
You can really feel it, like in with them when you walk and you get into their presence. Because
yeah.
I am a lighter skinned black person, they don't
uh-huh.
even like me because of my skin color, because I'm too light for them.
Wow.
So even
wow.
the shades of our different colors, there's racism in that. If you're not dark enough, they don't like it. If you're too light, they, you know,
uh-huh.
it's like, really? Are you kidding me?
Uh huh.
Or if I open my mouth and they know right off that I'm not mixed with, you know, Hispanic or have a little Jamaican or Haitian blood, oh, they really can't stand me. Then they're like, oh, you're one of those? I'm like, one of what?
Right. Right.
One of what?
Right. One of what?
Yeah, explain
wow.
it to me. I'm one of what? You just said I'm one of those. What is that? What am I?
Right, right. Right,
so,
right. Like, how do you define me?
Yeah. But, wow.
Like, am I accepted now, you know?
You want me to get out in the sun, get a little bit darker, get an accent? What do you want? What you want me to do?
Girl, let me tell you something. I absolutely, I'm serious, girl. I love, capitalize, love my color, right?
Mm-hmm.
I never, and I guess because I love it, I've never had problems. I've never had issues outside of just the generic standard of blackism, okay, where
uh-huh.
you got people that just don't like black folks. but I've never, ever, ever had issues as a result of my color, ever. So I think, and I always tell people, it's all a matter of perspective. And the energy that you have about yourself and the acceptance of you, that filtrates to the people that you deal with or don't. So
right.
I really, I mean, I hear the whole black thing and the dark thing and the light thing, and I'm always, like, kind of baffled because maybe I've been ignorant to it because of my own perspective of me. You know what I'm saying? I have not had problems. I have to say that. People, I mean, well, you know, when I was little, they used to call me Gospel Black, you know. The kids did, you know.
Hi, okay. This is Mom Porter Donner with your fitness and health tip for the week. As women, we are constantly having to deal with bloating at one time of the month or another. The biggest mistake we make when trying to get rid of our bloating situation is taking over-the-counter medications, when, in fact, all we need to do is drink more water. That's right. A lot of us, we skip on drinking water when we are bloated, when in reality, we should be doing the opposite. People tend to think that when they're holding on to water, they should cut back drinking it. But that's just not the case. Retaining water is actually your body's way of holding on to fluid so you don't dehydrate. If you're having a bloating problem, that's the time you want to push fluid, not restrict them. Since lemons act as a natural diuretic and a gentle laxative when added to warm water, consuming the liquid can help reduce the amount of salt retained in the body. Just make sure you drink from a glass and not through a straw so you don't take in extra air. So the next time you're feeling bloated, try the natural way by adding a little lemon to your water and flushing your system out. This fitness tip can be found at www.fitnessmagazine.com.
Welcome back to Ladies First Radio of the TJRS Radio Network, a live show for everyone. 347-850-1272 is our calling number. Now, if you're just now tuning in, Dr. Crystal, Billy, and I, we're not even talking about the topic that we're going to talk about. We completely switched gears because we're talking about Paula Deen and the trouble that she got herself into with calling people niggas or niggers. I don't even know which one she used. So that's what we're talking about tonight, and the whole racism thing. And we're just trying to figure out, in what context did she use it? Was she kidding? Yeah. Was she being serious? What is her mentality? Does she think in 2013 that it's still okay for us as black people to be living on a plantation and just being slaves? So Dr. Francis Odilia and I, we decided, you know what? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So that's where we are.
And I love it. I think it's great because, you know, it's a topic that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
I have never been one to shun away from talking about racism just because that's the way I was raised. My mom and dad, they didn't raise me to see color. They raised me to see people as people. So,
right.
And, you know, with my father being in the military, we moved around a lot. So I really didn't get a taste of what true racism is because we lived in so many different parts of the world, and I literally had to learn to accept people for who they are so that they would accept me. So as far
right.
as, you know, feeling any kind of racism towards me, I never felt that until I got on my own and went into, you know, the workforce. Then I got to see what my mom and dad were talking about. I'm like, oh, so this is what they're talking about. Where,
right.
you know, if they have a certain quota to fill in a work area, then they'll take on a black person. Like,
right.
like you mentioned, the token. We'd be the token. That's when I
right.
got to in my adult life. But as growing up, I never really felt any of that. So I was completely ignorant to everything they were saying, even though they were teaching it to me. I still didn't understand it. I'm like, okay, yeah, y'all just talking. I don't get it. Because I'm with everybody. I didn't care what color you were. I didn't care if you were black,
right.
green, purple, blue. It didn't matter to
right.
me.
Right.
So
yeah, that's how it should be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, with this whole Paula Deen thing, I'm like you. I'm like, really? Did she really think that way?
Right. And you know what? And when you're free and not thinking about color like that, that's
mm-hmm.
when you can open your mind to the possibility that maybe it wasn't how your first thought would conclude as a result of your own insecurities about your race or your past experiences that you had. Because a lot of times the translations that the truth gets lost in the translation as a result
right.
of our experiences or our own current perspective. So we have to open ourselves to the opportunity of realization that possibly, just possibly, there is another truth that we're
mm-hmm.
not clear of as a result of those things. So I just think that it may be, honestly, I just find it very hard to believe that her true thought is that.
Right.
And then when I say that, honestly, Mom, too, I also have to almost have not retract. Well, I find it hard to believe it, and I have to. Then on another hand, I don't, because maybe she is. I mean, it would just
yeah, we
be
don't
like
know.
Unfathomable that she would just like, she's at that point. She's like, deck it. This is where I am. I don't
mm-hmm.
like black folks. I think y'all are niggas. I got y'all in here because I want you to work for me. You've always been good workers. Can't nobody deny that. That's who you are. But you're niggas at the end of the day. And you need to be on a plantation. You guys did a good thing. I'm fine with it. And that could be her, you know, her mentality. And she's like, I don't give a kick. They could kick me off the show. I'm sick of hiding it. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
That is definitely a possibility. It's just
yeah.
so unfathomable that somebody would be so real.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's not the hands, but all those listening, we are not trying to make an excuse for her. We're just trying to say, okay, keep an open mind about the whole situation because, like I mentioned before, media has a way of making things seem more, taking bits of information and just running with it. So we're saying, you know, we're not trying to make excuses for it. We are just saying, you know, look at both sides of the situation. And you're right, Dr. Princess Odelia, maybe she really is like that. We don't know. We really don't know. And I keep going back to, okay, if more than half her staff is black and they know she's this way, why are they working for her? I couldn't do it. I couldn't do that. If I could not work for an employer that I know they have that mentality and they're looking at me as, you're just a nigger working for me. I'm walking.
But
I'm going to walk.
But guess what? That's another subject. Of course they don't. They don't choose to see that, and they don't even realize that it's their choice to not see it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, it's like they don't realize, because the bottom line is this. Even in our own lives, outside of racism, but in other areas, a lot of times we confuse the actions of people when they do kind things. We confuse it with what the innate intuition would tell us that a situation is one way, and we'll deny it just based on the fact that somebody did something nice for you. And I wrote something just a couple weeks ago. I reran a show, You Will Not Transcend Until You Get the Hijackers Off of Your Plane. And one of the quotes that I had written during that time when I had initially done the show was, the energy from your current perspective is more powerful than anything you say or do. And a lot of times we'll get signs, somebody will say something or do something, or we'll feel a certain energy in a scenario, and we'll say, oh, that, you know, that, wow, why did I think that? Like, why did they say that? You know, it's nothing. You know, that person is so nice to me. Or, you know, they just told me they love me. You know, they can be. But the energy that came across was like, woo, it caught our attention, but we put it right out because of what we thought they did. Or the things they've been doing, or the things they've been saying, which really it does not reflect the truth of their of where they stand. Now, you know, now this is a sidetrack. I'm further east in Michigan right now. Just filled my tank up for the 30 cents over, and I just passed a sign that was even 5 cents cheaper than the one I had in Detroit.
You are still on that gas. Let's do this. Who this is on the line? Still fussing about that gas. Caller, you're on with Ladies First Radio. Who is this?
This is Switch Sister. How y'all doing tonight?
Good. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing good.
Oh, Dr. Prince will do you. She's still, you know, she's talking about what we're talking about, and she's fussing about the gas at the same time. Now, that's multitasking right there.
Because I didn't expect to see that. I'm like, are you serious? Now you're going to be cheaper than the Detroit price? I pulled the tank up for the 30 cents more. That's what I get. So that's the message today, everybody. Be patient. I should have driven a little further.
Then you might have ran out of gas.
Well, you know what? You know what I've done previously? Sometimes I'll fill it up like a little, like put $5 or $10 in it until I can get to some place that I think is going to be cheaper, because I want to save my money, right? Well, I didn't do that today. I said, let me just fill it up. I shouldn't have done that.
You know, anyway, I've done that before too, and I stopped doing that because it happens to me every single time. I'm like, okay, I'm only going to put $5 in it until I get down to the next gas station that's cheaper. I have found out that when I've done that, when I get to the next gas station, it's actually higher. So I'm like, you know what? Forget this.
That's exactly why I filled it up there. Because I'm like, you know what? Why am I going to drive around the creation hoping that I'm going to find something cheaper so I don't have to go back in the hood and get robbed? And here I am.
Okay, we're going to stop talking about the gas. Rich Sister, what comment would you like to make?
Well, first about the gas, that's really important. I mean, don't y'all kind of pay attention to, like, see, like, what I do is, just speak on the gas for a minute. I always look at, don't you kind of notice there's, you know, I always just really pay attention to there's certain, even close by in my neighborhood, there's certain places where gas is cheaper, where I know gas is higher priced. So I just pretty much try to stick to the ones that I know that are low in price.
Right. Yeah. That's how I'm y'all though.
Huh?
But see, Rich Sister, I did go to the one that was low in price, and the thugs was about to get me, so I had to leave.
The who?
The thugs.
Oh.
I can tell they were about to get me.
Oh, okay, I missed that part.
Yeah, the thug was about to get me, so I had to keep driving. Because I said, wait a minute, hold on. My intuition said, leave now. And I was glad I did. Yeah.
I got you. Uh-oh. I missed that part. Yeah.
I had to keep it moving. Use a little wisdom. Yeah, but we were talking about the black and white and just perception of things. So we just have to be, you know, so you say, why would they stay and work for somebody who thinks of them in one way or another? And my conclusion is that they, you know, we ignore the signs that are relevant. And we focus on the things that are externally derived, which is, you know, somebody said this or somebody doing this. But in fact, it could be coming from a different vein. Like she could for God's sake, the slaves treated us well, some of us, you know. Some of them treated them well, and even the ones that were their house slaves and they gave children. I know even from my family history, my great-great-grandfather left us land and loved my great-great-grandmother and loved the kids that they had. But the bottom line is she was under the iron fist of control through him, and that's where it was, but even though he treated her good. So, I mean, it just depends on, you know, I don't think people deliberately in this day and age are going to say, I'm going to stay with you. And sometimes they will, because whether it's a black person or whether it's a white person doing it to you or just your typical employer or your husband or your wife that you are calling yourself to be a slave to, okay? So however it is, we stay in situations because sometimes we feel that there's no out, or we become complacent, or we feel beholden to that situation out of necessity. So it's not like, I'm being a slave, I'm going to stay here. It's not from that vein. It's just they're there, and also the situation that we ignore. We ignore the signs.
I don't know. It's just ignoring. There's only so much you can you can just let go and not say, okay, all right, yeah, this is the situation. I don't know. But this is what were you going to say?
I just paid attention to this story a couple hours ago. I'm really just, as a whole, shocked to hear that about Paul and Dean.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I just saw the story just a few hours ago, but I was shocked to hear that about her.
And she could be a homegirl, her sister. She could just be a homegirl that got it twisted. Like, you know, look, you a homegirl, but you can't you can't go public talking about what's up. Or she could be a homegirl that's fed up with people even caring. She's a homegirl that's saying to herself, you know what, I'm sick of people, you know, caring about this situation, about the black, about the white. And I'm going to say what I want to say, you know. And she doesn't care. Maybe she has enough money and she could care less about the show. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, but what gets me is if she really does have that mentality, it's twisted because everything that she cooks, it's soul food.
That's what I'm saying.
So even if she learned how to cook that food from her mom or her grandma, whoever, her grandmother or mother, they learn it from us. They learn how to cook all that food from us. So if she does have that mentality, she really shot herself in the foot because we're the ones that helped her build her empire.
And that's why I want to read it, Mom, too, because I'm so curious if the media took this as a to twist.
Because is there video of it or something like
that's
that?
That's what I want to see. I want to hear her. I want to hear an interview. But
yes,
the only thing I've heard are written articles which translate her verbiage. So I mean, even in that, I want to see it.
Yeah, I'm like you. I want to hear her voice. I want to see how she was talking because, like you know, how we mentioned earlier, was she joking? Was she being serious? What was the connotation in her voice? When she was throwing the N word around, how was she using it? Was she being businesslike? Was she saying, okay, this is how it is, this is how I really think? What is it? Because we're only getting half of the story. We're not getting everything, of course, because of the media. The media is only going to, they're trying to sell a story. That's what the media does. They will only give you the first, they want you to know.
This is what I want to do. What time is it?
Let's see, what time is it? 8:48.
Ah, crap. I wanted to, like, say, you guys talk, give me 2 minutes. I pulled over on the side of the road, and I wanted to Google it real quick and read something. I wonder what it take me, like, 2 minutes. But I'd have to hang up and call back, and who knows, Jay may be taking a bath or something. I'm just saying.
I was like you. I was exactly like you, Richardson. When I heard of this whole thing, I was like, what? I'm like, so we completely changed our topic, and that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about her. We wanted to know. I was like, come on. Seriously, come on. This is 2013.
It's the year of authenticity. So hey, look, guess what? If she decided to open her mouth and tell, or was last year the year of authenticity? She's a little late, but anyway, that's okay. But, you know, if she wants to come out with the truth, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, just like I said, it could be a sarcastic gesture as well, like Erykah Badu. Erykah Badu was not a sarcastic gesture. It was like, look, matter of fact, you know, she dropped her drawers.
Erykah Badu is crazy.
She's just real. She is real. That's real. People can't take real. She dropped her drawers on the block. Now, you know, when you drop your drawers on the block, all your drawers, your breath, and go naked while you're walking in the middle of the street, you are making a statement that is very clear. Now, she ended up having to go, you know, she was arrested and all that stuff. But she made her point. So maybe Paula Deen is saying, you know what, I'm going to be This is how maybe she's standing up for President Barack Obama. And she's saying, you know what? I'm just going to keep it real. No, I can't say she's standing up because that would be, why would she do this? I don't know.
Because I'm like, did she even vote for him?
What President Obama got to do?
because of all the issues that he goes through, which is completely racist, right? People don't recognize, the ones that are racist don't recognize that their actions are racist. They will deny it to the death of them. And maybe she's saying, no, come on, let's all of us come out. Okay? This is how I feel. This is how you guys sound. So let's just, hey, look, I've got the black people right. working for me and blah, 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 blah. And you know, they don't think I'm prejudiced and you don't either. I'm eating their food, dying by their food, and, you know. The way I'm throwing you guys out to eat it. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, there's anyway.
Just bottom line, it double standard.
Yeah.
Black people can use that as a tournament endearment, but.
that's what we meant to say, too. Yep.
I mean, it's just, the word is bad. Bottom line. It has no good connotation to it whatsoever.
What you mean? But you know there's a difference, Rich Sister. You could be a nigga or a nigger, you know. A nigga is hip. And hip-hop terminology these days, a nigger remains as it has all the time. And even that discussion is controversial, but that's how it's looked upon right now in the new generation. Nigga is nigga. That's my nigga. You know, that's how they do it. But, you know, nigger, you know, you're going to get clocked for that. And you get clocked for nigga in many places, too.
Yeah.
This is what it says. You know, but, yeah. But the truth is, it is translate. It can be a term of endearment, in fact.
Hmm.
It really
don't
can.
Don't call me
and,
that.
Yeah, I'm like that. Don't call me that.
Don't call me.
How close I am to you.
You're going to get in the hurt. Don't call me that.
You're going to get what, Rich Sister?
No hurt. You're going to get in the hurt. You're going to get in the hurt.
No hurt.
Don't call
not
me.
Hurt.
Whether you black or white, doesn't matter. I'm not your end.
So a black person could come up and say, what's up, my nigga?
Hey, I'll be like, I don't know you like that. Don't be calling
me. It's your end either.
Nah. That ain't gonna work.
Nobody.
But it's funny. I don't know how much y'all been following with the Zimmerman trial that's getting ready to take place Monday here in Florida. But even the judge here, she has banned the lawyers from using the word racial profiling just so that people won't get upset during the trial. They can't use the word racial at all.
Really?
Yep. Yep, she banned them from using that word. But that's another topic. But we do have to go to our last break. But sit tight. We will be right back.
Just let my love adorn you and the sweet way.
welcome back to the final call of Ladies First Radio. Well, this has been a very interesting hour. It went by really quick.
Yes, it did.
And we didn't even get, we were just touching, we didn't even break the tip of the iceberg. We were just, you know, tipping around on top of it. There's so much we can say about this topic.
Wow. And I did get a text from Mr. LES. I didn't realize until now. He said, now listen, guys, he said that she wanted black waiters in her restaurant to play slaves. To dress
wow.
up.
Wow.
Yes. And I guess that's the conversation and dialogue went on from that, the questioning of that. Like, what the heck? Like, really? And thus, I guess, was the comment that that's what they are, aren't they?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have to look up. Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to look up and do a part two for this because, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That's wow. Wow.
I'm speechless. I mean, really? You?
Wow.
Oh, okay. I don't know what to
wow.
say now. How come? Okay. I'm a lost for words. You want me to dress up as a slave? Wait,
wow.
Why don't you put on the slave outfit and I'll be the owner? Let's try that.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, Rasista, is there anything else that you would like to say before we close our show?
No God, comment please. On that.
Right?
Okay. Wow.
Don't even get me started with that.
I'm shocked. I'm like completely, yeah. We're going to do a second show on this because I'm
Wow. Yeah, by then we're going to do the research. Well, I'm sure there's more that's going to come out this week.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then just to pick up on something you said before the break, talking about in the Zimmerman case, they can't use the words racial profiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's what it was. But that's what it was racial profiling.
That's, right.
Yeah,
but they're not.
Tried the case. I'm like, well, you
yeah.
can give the case to somebody else because you just messed up my opening.
And my ex.
Statement.
Yep. The closing statement is gone.
Mm-hmm. But you can give this case to somebody else.
Right. Right.
That came out today. Yeah. She banned them from using that word, the prosecutors or the defense. They cannot say racial profiling.
I would have been
wow.
like, well, I banned my participation in this case. See?
It's totally done.
Yeah.
That's up all my stuff. I walked in with a whole book in that book. Racial profiling.
because that's exactly what it is, racial profiling. So I guess they,
yeah.
I mean, a smart attorney, you know, they'll go around about but saying it without saying it, and that's not too difficult. I
yeah.
mean, the term could be definitely re-termed and with the same definition. That's okay. They say whatever. They can dress it up, and I hope they are smart enough to do that. Because it
they
is
will be.
What it is. Yeah.
It will be.
You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
That's fine. I won't say racial profiling. You know, use that word. We'll get the point across.
All right, but we do have to say goodnight because we're like a minute. Well, the music's already go off. Okay, goodnight, Rich Sister. Goodnight, Dr.
Good night,
Sister Julia. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Love y'all.
See you next week. Love you, too. Love you guys.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Show's over.